again, just to refresh our minds where we're going here. Hebrews 6, verse 1. He says, therefore, let us leave the elementary or foundational teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death or dead works, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. Now, we've already begun looking at some of these things. We looked at repentance. We've talked about that. I would encourage you, if you weren't able to be here, you can go on the website and listen to it there, or you can order a CD if you want to. Last week, we also talked about repentance from dead works. And we also, last week, we talked about really faith toward God, justification, how God justified us in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, that is at the very heart of the gospel. We really need to understand that and get that firmly, that truth and that revelation firmly planted within our hearts. Because I'm telling you, if you have that firmly established in you as truth, it'll make all the difference in your faith, in your prayer life, in your fellowship with God. Because that, I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, the breastplate of righteousness. And that covers a big area, doesn't it? And a breastplate covers the vital organs. So that's a very important area, because the enemy, he wants to shoot those darts at us, doesn't he? Of condemnation and guilt and doubt and, you know, and all this stuff of trying to beat us down and tell us we're not worthy and we're no good and, you know, and God doesn't really love you and he's not going to do anything for you because look at you. All that kind of junk. We all know about that. So we need to, if we're going to wear the armor of the breastplate of righteousness, we got to understand what it talks about. We talked about that last week, and I would encourage you again to either go online and get the message. You can download it free, or if you want to pay us, we'll let you do that. You can order a CD. Just a tip, if you go online, it's free. So tonight we're going to be talking about, here it says instruction about baptisms. And you'll notice the word baptisms is plural. And so there are three principal baptisms that the scriptures teach about. Those three being, the first one being, our being baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit at the time of the new birth, or when we're born again. The second baptism is the baptism into water by a person. And the third one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit into the Holy Spirit by Christ. So those are the three main baptisms, and those are the ones we're going to look at. I don't know if we'll get through all of them tonight. I'm going to try to, but if we don't, we'll pick them up next time. So with that in mind, let's look at this first one, which is the first baptism, which is the Holy Spirit baptizing us into Christ Jesus. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. It's very important, as we have iterated and reiterated, and probably will several more times, but our foundation is what's so important, because it is the foundation upon which everything else is built. If the foundation's faulty, the rest of the building will be faulty. And so we want to make sure we have a firm foundation of understanding this. Baptism into Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, we'll pick it up at about verse 13. It says, for we were all baptized. Now you understand, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to Spirit-filled believers at the church. So when he says we were all, he's speaking of those in the church. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So you notice here very clearly, Paul tells us, he said, we were all, everyone who is a believer in Christ Jesus, he said, by one Spirit, or by Christ we've been what? We've been baptized by one Spirit into one body, which is Christ. So when we talk about being in Christ, you know, we talk about that a good bit, or make reference to that. This is what we're talking about. This is when it happened. It happened by our faith through grace, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Now, when God does something, I believe He does it well. Amen. When He got through with His creation, He looked at everything at the end of that creation time, and He looked at everything and saw that it was not just good. He said it was very good. Amen. So God has done this through the new birth. He has baptized us. So when one is born again, we could say it this way, born of the Spirit, one is immersed into the body of Christ. Amen. So you and I, if you're a believer, you've been baptized into Christ Jesus. And this thing is common about these baptisms is that there is always an element of identification. There's always an element of identification in each of these baptisms. And this first one, there's an identification what with Christ, that His life is now mine. I'm in Him. Everything that He is now is mine. Because what? I'm in Him, He's in me, and we're in the Father. And again, like I said, if you try to figure all that out, as soon as you get it figured out, let me know, because I hadn't figured it out yet. I just accept it by faith. Amen. But the reality of it is, as we understand this truth and we begin to walk it out, we begin to reap the benefits of it, of being in Christ. And you know, Paul said it this way. He said, the life that I live now, he said, I'm not living it as the former man named Saul or Paul. He said, but rather I'm living it, what? As the Son of God, the life that I now live. He said, I live it as the life of the Son of God. Now you think about it. Paul took this revelation very seriously. Why don't we turn over there and look at that scripture? Let's turn over to Galatians and look at this just a minute. You're close by there. Turn over to Galatians. Let's look there. Oh, let's see where we want to go here. Get my spectacles on here. In Galatians, let's look in chapter 3. Let's look right here. Verse 26, he says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And you can't get any plainer than that, can you? And so here's my identification is no longer do I identify by the person that you know after the flesh. And here's the thing. We need to understand this, that we need to stop looking at one another after the flesh. Isn't that where our problems come in? Come on. Most of us are not mad at Jesus, are you? You know, sometimes you run into people that are mad at God. But for the most part, we get along with, we'll put it this way, God gets along with us well enough so that we get along with Him. Isn't that right? But here's the thing. We've got to start seeing one another. Now, if we say we're believers, we have to believe this. Because if this is not true, then we're in a heap of trouble. Are you listening to me? Because you're still in your sins. And if you're still in your sins, believe me, that's a heap of trouble. So, because we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, now our identification is with Him. To the point that Paul says, and many times he wrote, you know, to the Colossians and different churches, he says, what are you getting all caught up with these externals? Know what he said? He says here, he said, we're so identified with Christ, he said, don't even worry about gender. Good Lord, we haven't even got, and listen now, this is the elementary teachings of the gospel. This is not the deep stuff yet. This is the elementary teaching. You know, I remember in elementary school, when I was learning to read, they still had the Dick and Jane books. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Any of y'all, or too young for that. Some ask one of these guys, somebody that's laughing, because they know what I'm talking about. See, spot, run. Run, spot, run. It was a really complex sentence structure there. Was deep, you know. But it was elementary, wasn't it? It was basic to lead to something deeper. And the same thing is true here. How are we going to grab hold of deeper truths if we haven't got this settled in our life? How are we going to grab hold of exercising authority and casting out devils and exercising our authority, you know, and setting people free if we're all the time, we can't go a week without doubting our salvation. We can't go a week without, am I really in Christ? Am I really righteous? Has God really forgiven me? I mean, we can't have 2 days in a row of peace. And we think we're going to go do some of these greater works. It's not going to happen. We got to get these basics down, settled in our spirit, that we are in Christ Jesus, that God no longer looks at me after the flesh, and we should stop looking at one another after the flesh, because if I start looking at you in Jesus, you look a whole lot better. I mean, you're good looking, don't misunderstand me. But in Jesus, you just look a whole lot better. In Jesus, I look a whole lot better. Isn't that right? Because when I look at him, he is without spot and blemish. So when God looks at you, what is he looking at? He's looking at you identified in Christ Jesus. So he sees you what? Without spot and blemish. Boy, that makes a big difference when you go to pray. That makes a big difference when the devil comes around and starts wanting to accuse you. You know, you ever notice he never accuses you of being in Christ? He never comes to... You're the righteousness of God. What's the matter with you? You notice he never brings that up, does he? It's always what? After the flesh, isn't it? He always is wanting to get you out of your identification in Christ and into an identification with that old man, which the Bible clearly tells us has been crucified with Jesus on the cross. Amen? But he always would rather point to the corpse than to the life. Isn't that true? And it's unfortunate, even Christians that have been saved a long time keep falling for that trick. Come on. Keep falling for that thing. We've got to get it in us that we are in. He says, you are all sons of God. Why? For you were all baptized into Christ. Well, who baptized you into Christ? The Bible says the Holy Spirit did. I said, the Bible says the Holy Spirit did. So if the Holy Spirit did it, that means God did it. If God did it, he did it right. He did it right the first time. It's done. It doesn't have to be redone. Are you listening? So it's settled. It's settled. And we need to settle it in our life. I'm in Christ Jesus. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what anybody else says. What matters most to me is what God said. Isn't that true? So there's an identification here. Turn, we've looked at it before, but in the light of this, let's look at it one more time. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Well, we'll begin at 17. But this is a scripture that it won't hurt you to revisit quite a few times. I mean, you need to get this portion of scripture, which it has to do with this truth we're talking about. We need to get it so ingrained in us that we begin to see one another this way. Are you listening? Paul, he said, the life I'm living, he said, it's not my life. Now, he said, I'm living the life of Jesus. Well, I got news for you. That's the only life you got. That other life that you think you've got, that's really death. Because the Bible says, you know what the principle is that's working in our members, our flesh? You know what principle that is? Death. I said, it's death. I'm going to say it again. I said, it's death. See, we call it life. God says, no, that's death. That's death working in your body. That's why, you know, I don't look quite as pretty as I did 20 years ago in my flesh. But here's the thing. What do we look at the most, don't we? We look at what? That we still judge one another by the outward. We look on the outward. We judge ourselves by that. He said, that's death. But he said, life is at work, what, in you? Life is at work in you. Who is the real you? The real you is that inward man, that spirit man, where the life of God is, made in the image of God. That's where we need to be seeing one another, and we need to see ourselves. But the truth of the matter is, you know, I'm going to say something, and, you know, like I say, if it rubs a cat the wrong way, let the cat turn around. I've had to turn around a few times reading the Bible, hadn't you? But here's the thing, you know, we say, oh, we're a believer. But here's the thing, our actions sometimes contradict that. Because the way I treat you after your flesh rather than after who you are in Christ. Sometimes it's hard to love people's flesh. Shoot, sometimes it's hard to love your own, isn't it? Well, the Bible didn't say you're to love it. It said, what did the Bible say to do to your flesh? Anybody remember? I heard it over here. Crucify it. Oh, my goodness. That's a popular message. That'll pack them all in. Just a little side note, you know, too, you know, when Jesus said, you know, take up your cross, crucify your flesh, you know, when he went to the cross, he did it without painkillers. I won't go there. Think about all the painkillers we pick up sometimes when we're going through tough times in life. We're taking up our cross. That's another message. Get away from that. Get back here to this. Get back on track here, North. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Listen to what he says. I know you know it, but we're going to read it anyway. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God. So we've been baptized into Christ. He said it's all from God. Well, if it's all from God, then it's all good. It's all done, and it's all settled. And we appreciate your opinion, but your opinion don't matter when God said it's done. Isn't that right? And I have to tell myself this about myself. I say, hey, look, doesn't matter about your opinion. This is what God said. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. We'll join the crowd, but when did he say live by our feelings? I'm telling you, live by your feelings will tell you, I mean, your feelings will lead you away from God. Because your feelings, they want to be pampered. Make me feel good. Let's do something for us, after all. Y'all know about that, don't you? Y'all deal with it too. So we identify with him, what? In his death, his burial, his resurrection, his righteousness, his authority, and his finished work. Why? Because we're in him. And you need to remind yourself of this. We all do. Hey, I'm in Christ. You get up in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror, you're shaving, brushing teeth, doing your hair, whatever you're doing, you know. 2-3 hours there, whatever it is. I don't go that long because I found out that's just a waste of time for me. I go 2-3 hours. Some of y'all go 2-3 hours. It helps a lot, but it don't help me much, so I just hit it and go. But, you know, we need to say to ourselves, look, hey, you're in Christ Jesus. You are not a natural man anymore. You are a spiritual man. You're in Christ. God did it. God has justified you. God has placed you in Christ Jesus, and you are identified. His life is your life today. Boy, what a difference that makes. You have to say it long enough till you finally believe it, don't you? The Bible talks about confession. Sometimes we have to confess the word long enough till why finally, man, it's like, you know, the old Ford commercial, you know, when the light bulb comes on, bing, yep. Because sometimes we hear it and we nod our head and we know theologically it's right, but something's got to happen on the inside, doesn't it? Turn over to Colossians 2. There's another way that Paul wrote about this. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified because I like the way the Amplified reads. But in talking about this baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ or being in Christ, identifying with him, another way that Paul makes a comparison is he talks about it being compared spiritually as a spiritual circumcision. You know, under the old covenant, the Jews there, it started with Abram. God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and the sign of the covenant is going to be a circumcision, which is what? A cutting away, isn't it? It's a cutting away of the flesh. It's a cutting away, and it indicates what? That we have entered into something new. We've entered into a new covenant. And, of course, here Paul's making this same comparison in Colossians 2, picking it up in verse 9. And, You can just follow along in your Bible. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. But listen to this. For in Him, speaking of Jesus, in Him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. Now this is who you're in. I said, this is who you're in. He said, Jesus gives complete expression to the deity. Chew on that a while. And then you are in Him. I'm pausing there on purpose for a minute. Selah. And look here in verse 10. And you are in Him, made full and having come to fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with the Godhead. Chew on that a while. He said you are filled with the Godhead. Now we're still, remember, we're talking about the elementary teachings here. Pretty advanced elementary teachings. And you found out tonight you're filled with the Godhead. I'm going to read it again. And you are in Him, made full, and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too. In other words, just like Jesus, we read about it in verse 9. You too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Whew. Wow. You say that backwards, couldn't you? Wow. We got to pause and think on this a minute. I'm not going to get in a big hurry on this because I'm telling you what, this is some awesome stuff. You're in Him. And He said, just like Jesus was the full expression, He said, also you're in Him, so you've got what? You've got the fullness of life in Christ. Wow. We could just stop there and meditate on that a while. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Man, now, don't you think whatever you're facing, this might be enough to put you over? You know, I probably told you the story again, but I'll share it again right here. I remember hearing Brother Kenneth Copeland. Many of you know him. He's been in the ministry for many, many years now. But he said when he was first started, really was first comprehending what God was calling him to do in the ministry, he said, man, he got down to praying. And he said, God, finally, you know, he tried to talk God out of it and couldn't talk God out of it. So he said, God, you're going to have to do something here. You're going to have to give me the power. You're going to have to give me this super duper anointing. You're going to have to give me this, that, and the other. And God began to talk to him along these lines. He said, well, son, he said, you're in Christ. And he said, the Holy Spirit's living in you. And he took him to some of these verses. Not only that, the whole Godhead's in you. You got all the promises of God, the name of Jesus, the armor of God, the promises of God. You know, you've got gifts of the Spirit, and he just kept going on down the line, you know, all kinds of prayer, faith, and everything. He said, if you tell me where there's any more to get for you and give it to you, I'll go get it. What we need to do, rather than looking for something else, is we need to discover what we've been given, don't we? We're in Him. This is a reality. This is not fairy tale. He says, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And He is the head of all rule and authority. The one living in you, and you're in Him, He said He's the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. Not only those in heaven, but those who fell. In Him also you were circumcised, here we're going, with a circumcision not made with hands, but in a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ by stripping off the body of the flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lust. Thus you were circumcised when you were buried with Him in your baptism, in which you were also raised with Him to a new life through your faith in the working of God as displayed when He raised Him up from the dead. Now let's stop there a minute. Well, that's a lot to chew on right there, isn't it? He says, you've been, that old man, remember, all really what we're reading here literally is an amplification of what we read there in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, if any man be in Christ, the old things, what, are done away, and behold, all things have become new, and these things are from God. All he's doing is he's just expanding on that here. And he's saying there, you've been circumcised, not with a natural outward circumcision, but by a spiritual inward circumcision, by the working of the Spirit of Christ. And he said, now that old man that had death working in it, that old man that led you into sin, that old man that had you in a place of spiritual domination by Satan and his kingdom, he said, that's all been done away with. And now you have been given a brand new person. You've been made a brand new person. And he said, this spiritual circumcision declares what? A separation. It declares that you have been what? Separated from that kingdom of darkness. And now what? You've got a brand new Lord, a brand new life, and a brand new covenant. Remember, God called Abraham out of what? The old land, and brought him into what? A new land, didn't he? And a part of signifying, all of this signified what? That Abraham was like a forerunner to us, that in a figure, he was becoming what? A brand new person. God changed his name. God brought him out of an old land into a new land of promise. And God brought forth the act of circumcision, declaring what? That now what? He was different from everybody else. He was going to be different from everybody else in the earth. He had a brand new covenant and a brand new relationship with God. And you know what? That's exactly what we're talking about here. Except for us, it's been a spiritual thing that God did. It wasn't some outward thing that man did. He says, you were thus. When did the circumcision take place? When you were buried with him in your baptism, and in which also you were raised to new life by the working of God. Just like God raised him from the dead literally, God has raised you from the dead spiritually. He's raised you from the dead spiritually. You know, I was meditating on one occasion. I was thinking about, you know, where he talks over there in Corinthians about, you know, the natural body and the spiritual body, and how we, you know, when Jesus comes back, you know, we're going to be changed a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Because it just makes me happy to read and think on those verses. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll get all my original hair back. Hallelujah. God's got them all numbered, so he knows where they are. Isn't that what the scriptures say? But, you know, I was meditating on that, you know, and I'd always thought about it, you know, because, you know, and it is scriptural, because we read about the power of God coming upon, you know, people, and we've experienced it coming upon us. And I always thought, you know, well, this is going to be, you know, the power of God's just going to come on us and make our bodies new. God said, well, he said, think about this, son. He said, really? He said, what's going to happen is, he said, I'm just going to turn up the amps on the Spirit of God that's living in you. And he said, what's going to happen is, he said, that life is just going to swallow up death. Amen. The spirit of life in you is just going to swallow up death. So when death swallowed up, you're going to have a brand new body from the inside out. In the same way, that's the way healing works. Healing is just, you know, a down payment on the new body. That's all healing is. It's just a down payment. You know what that reveals? Healing reveals to us that God's promise about one day us having a brand new body, our bodies being redeemed, is a present fact. That God did that too. And that's all healing. That's all healing does in the body. It signifies what? That, you know, that's a down payment. Hallelujah. One of these days I'm not going to need healing anymore because I'm going to have a brand new body that's not subject to sickness and disease. But that's another story. He said, and you, verse 13, who were dead in trespasses in the uncircumcision of your sin, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note, the bond with its legal decrees and demands which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us. This note with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of the way by nailing it to his cross. Whew. In other words, all the charges that were brought against you and that could have been brought against you, they have been completely null and voided and completely gone. God nailed them to the cross. That's why there can be no, that's why no accusation can be brought against you. Because, you know, if you're in court, you know, one of the things that they'll do, if you've ever served on jury, hopefully it was only serving on jury duty. But if you've ever done that, you know, one of the things is they'll, depending on what kind of trial it is, but they read the charges. But you know what? If the page is blank, what can they read? And see, that's what he said. He said that God has blotted it out. You know, he didn't just put a stamp on there, you know, over the top of the writing of the charges. The connotation is here that the page, now when you look at it, it's blank. It's blank. That's why, you know, there can't even be a remembrance of the charges. God says, I don't even remember them. You look at the paper, you go to try to read them, you know what they are? They're blank. Now, you know, if you listen to that old lying devil, he'll try to make up some. Are you listening to me? You all know what he is, don't you? Well, guess what he's telling you then? It's all lies. It's just a pack of lies, as we used to say. So we're complete in him. We're circumcised in here. Our old carnal nature has been removed. Turn over to Hebrews real quickly. Chapter 10. We're still talking about baptism into Christ. What does it mean? We've been baptized into Christ. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's all good. I can tell you that. We belong to him. We are in him. The Godhead dwells in you. Whew. Now, man, if the Godhead can't make you right, you are hopeless. You know I'm saying that kiddingly. But I mean, man, if the Godhead can't get you right, then Lord of mercy, don't come see me. What am I going to do? You know what I mean. But I think what we forget that, don't we? And God's at work in you. Paul wrote to the Philippians, didn't he? He said, God's at work in you, both the will and to do of his own good pleasure. Hallelujah. You know, just because God's not finished with you yet doesn't mean he's not doing a work in you. Isn't that right? You know, God, how many found out God don't get in a hurry? No matter how much you try to get him in one. I mean, I'm an expert just about at trying to get God in a hurry, and it ain't worked yet. How about with you? If y'all have any success in hurrying God up, let me know what your secret is. You know, because here's the thing, he's got forever. And see, also too, see, God, even though he interacts with us in time, he is above time. He's outside of time. That's why the Bible, one of the characteristics of God is that he is transcendent. And the Bible teaches that he has to humble himself to dwell in eternity. And he's the same one's living in you. That's big, isn't it? Man, I can't even comprehend the universe, how big it is. Or a galaxy. But you think about eternity. How big that is, because it's holding everything that's made in the natural, including the universe. And God is so transcendent. He is so big. He is outside of it all. He's above it all. And yet he's living in you and I. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's pick it up. about verse 13. Well, verse 12. But when this priest had offered for all time, speaking of Jesus, one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, get this now, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Isn't that interesting the way that reads? You know, the scriptures are full of that, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, seemingly contradictions. Jesus said, you want to live, you got to die first. You know? Oh, we're all for the life part, God, but could we somehow skip the road there? We don't mind going on the journey. We just want our road to be completely smooth. But notice he said, by one sacrifice. Let's say that together. One sacrifice. Not, See, you can't make a sacrifice that's going to make you more righteous, more saved, or more in Christ. There's not one you can make. There's only one sacrifice that does that, and it wasn't the one you made. It wasn't the one I made. It's the one Jesus made. Isn't that right? He said He has made us perfect, yet in that same verse He said those who are being made holy. So there is a sense in Christ Jesus when God looks at us, He says, they are perfect in my sight. Yet at the same time, we know this, we're growing in our knowledge and in our understanding of that new life that's been given us, haven't? So it seems like it's a contradiction. So in one sense, God says, you've been made perfect. In other words, what? God's a faith God, isn't He? He sees you in Christ Jesus. And as far as He's concerned, what He did in Christ Jesus is sufficient for Him to say, everyone who believes on Him will absolutely come to a place that you will be just like Jesus. Now, God's not in a hurry that it happen overnight. So there's no use you getting in a hurry that thinks it's going to happen overnight. But God's got this kind of confidence. Remember He said, God said, whom He foreknew, He also predestined. We know that scripture over there in Romans 8, don't we? That they should become what? Conformed into the very image, the very mature image of His Son. Hello? So as far as God's concerned, that's how He sees you right now. When He looks at you, He sees you that way. Doesn't the Bible say that God calls those things which be not as though they were? In Romans 4. Isn't that right? Now, it's what He does, doesn't He? But in this case, He's got perfectly good grounds, I guess is the best way I could say it, good standing to say it, because of what? Because of the one sacrifice. You know? It's kind of like if you went in, you know, this is a poor example, but if you went into a car dealership, you know, you went into, you know, the Rolls Royce place, and you ordered the top of the line, you know. I don't know, $200,000-$300,000, maybe, at least. You said, you know, and I want this on it, I want this color, I want this kind of interior, and blah 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 blah. And they had to order it, and you paid for it right then. You know, just wrote out the check. Didn't even bat an eye. You know what? And they ordered it and said, okay, it'll be here in 3 weeks. You know what? You could tell everybody, what? I got a brand new Rolls Royce. Isn't that right? Here's the color. Here's what it's got on it. Here's what it'll do. You could tell them all about it, couldn't you? They said, well, take me for a ride in. Well, I don't have it yet. Well, wait a minute. You just told me you had it. Well, I do. I paid for it. It's paid for. This one sacrifice of Jesus, it's paid for. Your redemption, your right, it's paid for. Okay. Verse 15, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First He says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. And He adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Whew. Notice this is something God did. I said this is something God did. I hate to break it to you, but you didn't have nothing to do with it. If you're like me, I would almost shout about as loud about that as about what He did. I'm glad I didn't have anything to do with it. Because I'm telling you what, I'd probably find a way to mess it up. But this is something God's done. We're still talking about the doctrine of baptism, being baptized into Christ Jesus. What does it mean? Man, what peace we are to have. What confidence about our lives and about the future. Listen, this is why the Bible says that if while we were sinners, God did all this, how much more now that we are in Christ, will He not freely give us all things? Listen, if God gave you a fleet of cars, it wouldn't compare to this. If he gave you the car factory, it wouldn't compare to this. If he gave you a house on the Riviera, it wouldn't compare to this. That's what he's saying. He said, if God did this while you were a sinner, you weren't even after God, didn't care about God. He said, how much more now that you're a child of God, you're in Christ, God's at work in you, you have a desire, you want to please God, you want to obey God, you want to fulfill God's plan, you want to glorify God, how much more now will he not give you all things? You see how this will revolutionize your prayer life? Man, you'll be struggling. Oh, I don't know if God will do this. My goodness. If he did all this, if he did all this freely, you think he's going to strain over some little old thing here that's going to pass away? Excuse me, I get enthusiastic about the gospel. I can't help it. I say, I'm going to be calm, Lord. I'm going to be calm, but I can't tell you. It just stirs something up in me. All right, turn over to Galatians real quickly. We're still talking about being baptized into Christ, but we're in him. We're in him. It means we're unified with him. That means, really, it really means this, that everything that he is, we are. Everything he has, we have. Isn't that right? We are in him. He is in us. The Godhead's in us. Notice here in Galatians, and you know, how many know, you know, in the book of Galatians, they kind of had a struggle like a lot of us may have had at some time in our spiritual walk. They had a hard time understanding and comprehending some of these truths, or maybe hadn't been taught, because they were still trying to please God in the flesh. They were still thinking that if they did certain things or didn't do other certain things, that that was going to make God bless them or like them, or, you know, or what, are they going to be accepted somehow? And God had to write to the church here at Galatia, and he had to straighten out some things with them. He had to remind them about the power of grace and how they were justified, and the fact that they, you know, it was not by any law, whether given to Moses or anybody else, that had saved them, justified them, and had put them in Christ. And he had to remind them. And you know, I find that that's true. I have to remind myself, and you probably need to remind yourself. And so it's good to, even though these things are the elementary teachings, it's still good for us to remind ourselves sometimes. Isn't that true? In Galatians 3, and we read part of this a minute ago, but I want to read it again. It said, verse 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for you all were baptized into, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, how many of you belong to Christ? All right. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So here's the thing. We are heirs with Abraham. God blessed Abraham spiritually, physically, and financially. Amen? In that order. The most important being what? Spiritually. Isn't that right? Nobody going to argue with that. But beyond that, too, he said also physically. You know, evidently something was wrong with either Abraham or Sarah or both of them because they could not conceive a child. Something was wrong, wasn't there? I mean, I'm not a doctor, but evidently something was wrong because they've been trying. I don't know how long before they got the promise, but it was 25 years even after the promise. So evidently what? There was something in this promise that not only blessed them spiritually, but it also did something in their bodies. You remember when they went into Egypt? Remember when the famine came and they went into Egypt? Remember, and Abraham got fearful, scared. You know, they were going to kill him to get his wife because his wife, you know, was so good looking. That's right. Well, my goodness. She wasn't no spring chicken when they went in to Egypt. Are you listening to me? She was in her 70s. And he was worried about, man, they see how good looking you are, they're going to kill me. And you know, and sure enough, they didn't kill him, but that boy, I mean, the word came to Pharaoh. Boy, I'm telling you what, there's a good-looking woman came in. Come on. Y'all, you're beating religious on me. That's, I'm paraphrasing, but you go over there and read it. Isn't that what he said? Well, evidently something, it must have already started working in her. The life of God must have already been working in her. Isn't that true? Because it says, what? She got pregnant. She had to be at least 89 because she gave birth at 90. You want to tell me? Listen, that was supernatural.
Yeah.
And all the women said, thank God. Because I'm sure none of you are believing that. Are you? But what I want you to see is something was working in their bodies. And Abraham too, evidently. Whichever one. But it was something was working. Now, it doesn't say that Abraham was all that good looking, so maybe it's just working in Sarah. I don't know. But something was working there. And then, of course, we know in the financial realm that God made Abraham rich. The Bible says that very clearly. It says he made Abraham rich. Well, can you imagine if that was the Old Testament, if we allowed being in Christ and we really got a hold of this truth and allowed God to begin working in us in the body of Christ in some of these areas, can you imagine the world would be like, hey, what's your secret there? You use oil of Olay or what are you using or whatever that is, stuff is? You know, stuff you put on. Y'all get a facelift? No, we didn't need one. We got some regenerating, all right. It's the regenerating of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? And, you know, you say, well, that sounds far-fetched, and that was a particular and special promise to them. I understand that. But at the same time, in Romans 8, he said, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken, make the God life in your mortal bodies. Now, that's a promise that was to the church. So there is some measure in which we need to really explore this and understand that being in Christ means what? That we are now Abraham's seed and we're heirs according to the promise. Amen? And, I for one, I want to receive all that God has for me. How about you? I'm going to shoot for it. I remember when I was in college and studying, I never studied to make, 60. I'm studying Harvard. It's different. Well, I'm hoping I make 60. I never studied to make 60. I studied to make 100. I didn't always make it, but I got close. And I have a feeling that if I'd studied to make 60, I'd have probably failed a lot. Because in the day when I went, 60 was like the lowest D you could have. And if I was shooting for 60, I probably would end up with a 50 or 40 or something, and I'd have failed. So rather than us complaining, saying, well, we don't see this and we don't see that, well, let's keep shooting at it. Man, I'd rather shoot for the 100 in God and get close to it, than not try anything and succeed at it. So here we are. We're children of God by faith in Christ. We put on Christ. Notice he said, you clothe yourself with Christ. How do we do that? We do it by faith. We do it by, just like tonight, we're looking into the Scriptures. We're finding out what God said. It does it mean to be baptized into Christ? And we build our faith in that. We begin to declare that in our lives. We begin to declare that over our lives. I am in Christ Jesus. The Godhead is living in me. Now, I'm telling you, when you start doing this at first, I mean, your head will spin. You know this thing right up here? Bump on top of your shoulders. It will spin. Because, boy, I'm telling you, that head will tell you, I'll tell you one thing, don't you remember this, and don't you remember that, and remember this, and remember that. And, of course, the devil will side right in. And as Christians know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. Thing is, we get the wrong witness sometimes. We get the witness of the flesh, or we get the witness of the unrenewed mind, or we get the witness of religious people's thinking. We got the wrong witnesses giving us the evidence of who we are, rather than going and appealing to the Supreme Court of Heaven, which is God's Word revealed here, and whatever the Supreme Court of Heaven says, bless God, that's it. You are overruled, carnal brain. You are overruled, devil. You are overruled, religious people and thinking. God bless you. We love you, but you're overruled. Isn't that true? You appeal in the natural, you appeal a case all the way up to the Supreme Court. Once the Supreme Court rules on it, honey, that's it. Isn't that right? You can't appeal from the United States Supreme Court. You can't appeal. There's no court higher, is there? Nobody to appeal to. Well, listen, we're hearing what the Supreme Court of Heaven, God the Father, has ruled on it in Christ Jesus. This is what He said. This is who we are. This is what He's done. And it's settled. And we can't, there's no preacher that can overrule this. Are you listening? There's no denomination that can overrule this. I'm not speaking against any of this, but I mean, this is how we got to get settled on the fact. Because He said, you've clothed yourself with Christ. How do we do that? We got to get the truth, and then we got to begin to believe, and we got to begin to walk in it, don't we? Now, here's the thing. This is what will really test your faith in this, that you're believing in this, is when you start seeing your brothers and sisters this way. Might be a little easier to see yourself in Christ, but I mean, bless God. Isn't that true? Come on, let you laugh, but it's true, isn't it? Because sometimes, you know, some people, I'm not looking at anybody, don't act like they're in Christ, do they? Sometimes, all of us are fit that mold sometimes. But here's the thing, it doesn't change what God has done. And we need to, what, clothe ourselves. He said, we've put, those of us that have been baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves. Clothed ourselves. Think about it. We're heirs of the promise and heirs of the blessing. Heirs of the promise and heirs of the blessing. Now, remember what it said over there in 2 Corinthians 5. It said, all these new things, all these things we've talked about tonight are of and from God. He did it. It pleased Him to do it. He did it. He did it through His Son. He did it by grace. He did it by His Spirit. He did it by His power. It pleased God to do this in you, for you. And He said, it's a once-for-all deal. No more sacrifices needed. Not from you, you know. You get to heaven, you know, there are not going to be any street cleaners up there. What in the world has this got to do with what you're talking about? Because, you know, nobody's going to need to shine it up. It don't ever get dull. The streets don't get dirty. Don't need that. So if you were planning on that as your occupation up there, you're going to have to get another one because they ain't going to need it. Isn't that right? The glory don't dim there. There's nothing to dim it. The streets don't lose their luster. And I want to tell you something. What God has done in you throughout all of eternity will never lose its glory or its luster. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it's going to take us, you know, and so you know, don't get too discouraged if you hadn't wrapped your mind around all of this tonight, because the Bible says it's going to take all eternity for God to show us what He did in the one act toward us in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's what I say too. Look over there in Ephesians. That's what it teaches us. Somebody says, well, what are we going to be doing throughout eternity? I'm telling you what. I'm thinking about after we get through with eternity, then what we're going to do on the other side of it. Isn't that something? Listen, we need to remember how big God is. Don't we? Man, sometimes, man, I look at things and I think, oh, man, this is it. You know, your head says, this is it, buddy. Oh, God, this is it. You know, that's when I have to remember how big God is. Man, God, what is this little old problem I'm facing? Man. You know, when we was in the world and we used to fight and do all kind of crazy stuff, you know. We were about insane. I'm convinced of it now as I look back. But, you know, we used to, you know, of course, you know, anytime you're going to get, you know, you got people that do stuff like that. You got egos that are out the door, you know, that fill up the room. You know, we used to have guys say, man, I'll run over you going to a fight. That's the way God is. He said, man, I'll run over this going to a real fight. I mean, your problems, the things we face, I mean, that's nothing to God. And I think the more we meditate on this, the more we get this truth down in us that we are in Christ Jesus. We've been baptized in it. God did it. It's finished. It's done. The extent of it, the magnitude of it, the glory of it, the eternity of it. Then when we put that as a backdrop against the problems of this world, no wonder Paul said, our light affliction. I mean, this is from a guy, you know, who's been stoned and beaten and put in prison and everything else. And he says, our light affliction. He'd go over big today in the church, wouldn't he? He'd pack them, Paul would pack them in, I'm sure. Just think about it a moment. Now, you are in Christ Jesus. And remember what Jesus said, no man can pluck you out. No man's doctrine can pluck you out. No man's special revelation can pluck you out. You know, you're in. Hallelujah. Somebody asked me, see, you believe in once saved, always saved? I said, well, I'm not looking to get out. So I really never thought about it. Why, you wanting out? Go talk to God. Maybe you can get out. I don't know. Who wants out? Man, I got in. I'm loving it. You know, I think some questions are irrelevant, aren't they? You believe in eternal security? I sure do. I'm not trying to get out. And God's not trying to get me out, so I guess I'm secure. Amen? Man, I just got too much going on to be concerned about, you know, those irrelevant topics. I don't know what it makes me wonder what some people are thinking. They get a hold of this truth, you won't be thinking about that, will you? It'll be settled. It'll be settled. Well, I'm going to stop here. We're going to pick it up next week, Lord willing. We'll be talking about the other two baptisms, baptism in water, baptism into the Holy Spirit. Man, I'm telling you, I'm so glad that I am in Christ Jesus. Listen, look, see yourself that way. Get into the Scripture. See yourself that way. That's the way God sees you. When you pray, that's how God sees you. When you worship, that's how God sees you. When you're doing the laundry, that's how God sees you. You're out walking the dog, that's how God sees you. Amen. He don't just see you, you know, when you're in that wonderful state of worship. I mean, we all like those times. It's great. It's wonderful. But, you know, He sees you this way all the time. Because this is who you are. And you know, just like in Genesis 1, when God finished all His creation, He looked at it, and you know what He said? He said, it's very good. When He looks at you, what He's done in you through Christ, He looks at you and He said, boy, it's very good. Boy, I did good. Look at that, Jesus. Boy, didn't we do good? So stop saying that God came up short in your life. Stop saying that somehow God didn't do as much for you as He did for somebody else. No, maybe it's you just haven't really understood yet. Built your faith strong in this area so that you understand it, so that nothing can change how you see yourself in Christ Jesus. Amen.